There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Live sport, the latest headlines and top debate. This is The Grill, live from Barasti with Tom Urquhart on DubaiEye1038.
Second hour of the show, and goals are plenty to tell you about from the kickoff of this second hour. Let's go to the Premier League straight away. It's been a goal in the early clash between Stoke and Leicester.
37 minutes gone now in the early Premier League kickoff of today. It's Leicester City 1, Stoke City 0. After 33 minutes, it's the midfielder Vicente Ibora. It was a corner kick for Leicester City. It came over. It wasn't dealt with well by the Stoke defence. It fell for a left foot half volley from Ibora from 10 yards out. The goalkeeper got one hand to it, couldn't stop it. It was past him in a flash. So it's Leicester City 1, Stoke City 0, 37 minutes gone.
There's a goal up in Scotland as well. Scott Sinclair has scored after 28 minutes in the early kickoff between St Johnstone and Celtic in that one. So scoring after 28 minutes, as I said, Celtic, the visitors, leading the home team St Johnstone by 1-0. Going to the other scores in and around the games going on at the moment, Bristol City and Cardiff still one apiece into the second half of that one, and it's Valencia who lead against Leganes. They lead by 1-0. Keep an eye on all the football for you, as of course we will all the other sport, none more so than the cricket. Mark Archer, international, about to get underway.
Yeah, T20 international, the second match between India and the New Zealand Black Caps is in Rajkot. I can tell you that India won the first T20 international comfortably by 53 runs. But Kane Williamson, they just had the toss. Kane Williamson, the New Zealand captain, has won the toss. They will bat first. This match will get underway in about 20 minutes' time. So New Zealand need to win to square the series up at one apiece and go on to a third match. It's been a good series. The One Day Internationals was a good series between both teams. But India are 1-0 up in this series. They will take that lead into the second match at Rajkot. Let's just have a quick listen to a preview of this match from our friends at Crickinfo, Chris Harris in New Zealand, are chatting about India taking on New Zealand in the second T20 international.
It is in Rajkot. What do you want to see change for that, Chris?
New Zealand have to improve. As I said earlier, India outplayed New Zealand in every facet of the game, so it needs to be a big improvement for New Zealand. I guess the biggest improvement for us all to see, I think they dropped 4, maybe 5 opportunities. So if you've got a field like that and miss quality players, they are going to make you pay, as they did today. So basically, every department has to improve dramatically, the fielding, the bowling, and that will give them an opportunity within the batting. And I just think today, because they lost a couple of wickets, India bowled well at the start, the batting was always going to be a challenge chasing that massive total. But yeah, I would like to see an improvement in all areas, and I'm sure they'll be working very hard to make sure that happens.
Yeah, one force change will be Ashish Nehra is not available for that game from an Indian point of view. But you like how they structured this this lineup. The fact that they have so many options. I mean, Hardik Pandya had an exceptional game and a very poor game at the same time. And a duck, but then goes out and picks out an absolute blinder, drops a catch a little bit later, first ball, takes a wicket, goes for 11 in that over. It's it all happened for him in the game.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that you expect for someone like him, because he's always there in the game, whether it's batting, bowling, fielding, you'll always find him there. And when you see someone like him, obviously there's that X factor. There'll be days where he'll have a fantastic day, but he'll have off days as well. But I like this combination. I like this combination because you expect your top 4 or 5 batsmen to play through majority of those 20 overs. And that's why I like it, because end of the day, I think it's the bowlers more often than not that win you a T20 game as well. So you need those bowling options. India today had 6 bowling options, 6 proper bowling options. I think this is the combination which India should stick with, especially in this format.
So Siraj.
Siraj, that's right. I mean, obviously, Nehra goes out, Siraj comes in.
Goal in the Premier League, equaliser or extension of that lead? Let's get the latest, Mark Archer.
No, a equaliser for Stoke City. Stoke City 1, Leicester City 1, 39 minutes gone, and it's Zidane Shaqiri has popped up for Stoke with the equaliser. That cancels out the earlier goal only 5 or 6 minutes ago by Vicente Obora, who put them ahead after a corner kick, left foot half volley. But Shaqiri has popped in a goal for Stoke. So 39 minutes gone. Stoke City 1, Leicester City 1.
Let's just get back to the cricket, because India are about to be in action against New Zealand. Fascinating series, this one. Seen some retirements from the game. Ashish Nehra signing off from international cricket on a high in the last game. The one thing that just gets me is the strength of that Indian batting lineup. I know we make a lot of noise about Virat Kohli, with good reason as well. But on the rare occasion he doesn't get runs, you can pretty much guarantee the likes of Sharma or Dhawan are going to come and get runs at the same time.
Yeah, they do have strength and depth, and they're so good at the T20 format, aren't they? Because they get so much good experience with the Indian Premier League. They're used to pressure situations. They're used to playing in with big crowds, with expectations. And if Virat Kohli doesn't get you, one of the other guys will pop up and score the runs. It's a star-studded Indian lineup. That being said, it's been a good one-day series between the New Zealand Black Caps and India, quite close between the teams. That first win in the first T20 international actually knocked New Zealand off the top of the T20 ICC rankings. So they'll be trying to win and get back there. So both teams are going well. Just to give you that news again, Kane Williamson, the New Zealand captain, has won the toss. They will bat first at Rajkot in the second T20 international.
Ashish Nehra retiring from international cricket halfway through a series.
Seems funny, doesn't it, that he would do that?
Maybe. Is that bowing out in front of your home crowd, I suppose? I suppose you've got the opportunity.
Going out on a high, usually most players would finish the series, wouldn't they? And that before they, acknowledge the crowd and doff their cap and move into the sunset. But I think he's still going to play probably IPL cricket, but he's really just retiring from international cricket. So it's a shame to see him go. He's been a fine servant for Indian cricket, and I guess it'll give another talented youngster an opportunity playing for India.
A lot of eyes on England as well. They've arrived down in Australia. In fact, they've strapped on the pads for the very first time of their tour. It's their first warm-up game. Archie's got some details for us on this one.
Yeah, England's tour to Australia got underway earlier today in Perth. They're taking on a Western Australian 11. England at stumps. They batted first, 349 for 6. Half centuries and some form for a few players who needed to score some runs. Stoneman, Vince, Milan and Balance all scored half centuries for England. More worrying though, it was a duck for Alistair Cook and only 9 for the captain Joe Root. So this match is about acclimatising, Tom, giving the players get their legs under them after a long flight from England. 349 for 6 at stumps. They'll be pretty happy with their day's work. But Alistair Cook and Joe Root will look to come into form across that first test match, only 3 weeks away now, 23rd of November at the Gabba in Brisbane, the first test match of the Ashes. So some good batting practice for the Englishmen earlier today.
Yeah, and that's all it is. But they need to... it was interesting, I was listening to a podcast about this Ashes tour. In fact, I was talking about it last night with a number of the cricketers who were over for the Lord's Taverners gig down in Abu Dhabi. And they said one of the things that they need to do, if you look at the history book, is that you need to approach every single game, any minute you can get, assimilating with the conditions and the batting conditions down in Australia. You take advantage of that and you win every single game. You don't undermine any of the opposition. You take advantage of that time in the centre.
You do, because obviously the pitch conditions in Australia are vastly different from that in England. You're starting over in Western Australian Perth. It's the hardest, fastest, bounciest pitches in world cricket. It doesn't matter who you're playing in Australia. They're going to be competitive. They're going to come hard at you. It doesn't matter whether they're a team of youngsters or a team of post-retired players. They're going to come at you pretty hard and try and get on top of the Englishman early. So you need to take a chance. Different ball down there. They'll be using the Kookaburra ball as opposed to the Duke's ball. So the bowlers need to get used to that. The batsmen need to get used to taking the sting out of that new ball, getting this off, because it is easy to score runs after 20 overs against the Kookaburra ball. And so you need to get runs on your belt. You need to spend time at the crease. You need to get used to the harder, faster, bouncier wickets, particularly in Western Australia. And, of course, all eyes start turning to that first test match at the Gabba in Brisbane, 23rd of November.
Australia will start as favourites, with good reason, home advantage, and probably the better form coming into this series. England, obviously rocked by the Ben Stokes incident. However, then put that behind them. They're still waiting to see who Australia go with in their squad, and obviously a couple of question marks over that. I suppose the big England question mark is batting lineup. Given what you've seen early in this tour, given what you're hearing as well, How do you see that? I think, I mean, with Stokes obviously not going to be there for the first test, if any of the test matches, I'm assuming that means Johnny Bairstow will come in 6 and Moen Allen will be 7, Wokes 8. So 6, 7, 8, I think, is probably guaranteed. It's down 2-6. Where do you place?
Yeah, and that, to be fair, that's been the strength of England, the middle order, isn't it, with Stokes, Bairstow and Moen Ali is as good a three players at 5, 6, 7 or 6, 7, 8. And Wokes is handy, got many first class entries for Warwickshire and has been handy with the bat at test level. So that's their strength. But in England, you know, in Australian conditions, you need to see off the new ball. You need to give those guys a platform to perform and come in. And that's the big question marks, I guess, for England. Stoneman looks to be the guy penciled in to open the batting. Who's going to bat at 3? Is it James Vince?
James Vince, yeah.
Is it Dawid Malan? Is it Gary Balance? I guess these questions are not really answered yet. And England, I guess they're going to try and pick guys on form. So some of that top three is going to have to get runs. Alistair Cook, lock him in. Joe Root, lock him in. But, you know, who's going to open the batting with Alistair Cook?
So let's lock him in.
Who's going to bat 3?
Cook at 1, Root at 4. So I'm assuming Stoneman's going to get the nod and will open and will play 2 with Cook.
Yeah, and I think
Vince at 3.
Vince, I think, bats more potentially, but I think Gary Balance has got more experience at Test level. He's tried it. He's failed. But so is Vince. But so is Vince. Hasn't compressed in an English batting order either. Prolific at county cricket. Same with Gary Balance. I think it'll come down to a shootout between those two. Who shows the most form? What goes well for Balance is a left-hander. So it gives him a little bit of advantage breaking up the right-hand, left-hand, root at 4, right-hand combination. Maybe throw the England seam, the Australian seam bowlers off the line a bit. You know, he hasn't got a bad test record, albeit he has been found out at test level, and I'm sure the Aussies will be reminding him that. But Vince is unproven, so there's a real fight out between those two players, Vince and Balance, for that number 3 spot. And I guess they're going to go, the selectors and obviously the coach, Bayliss and Joe Root, will want one of those players to score runs heavily, and basically make the selection impossible, so he has to get locked in at 3.
So I think the selection headache is Malan and Balance. I think that Malan probably deserves it on form going into the series. I think he's probably earned it from his late performances late in the summer for England. I think he bats at 5, given his form, with Balance having to prove himself to bat at 5, because I think his days at 3 are gone. He's been found out there. He hasn't got the footwork for a number 3. I think he's more suited to number 5. I think his game is better suited to coming at number 5 a little further down the order. Let's wait and see, I suppose.
Yeah, it's a fair point, but Dawid Malan hasn't exactly convinced at test cricket level either. A prolific scorer for Middlesex and county cricket. He's been great for England Lions, but he hasn't scored the runs. He hasn't taken the opportunity. He hasn't really seized the moment when he's had a few England caps early in the year. So, again, I think you've got 3 players there vying for 2 spots. I think Milan's in control at the moment. I think Stoneman will open. I think Vince, they've penciled in to play 3, but it's a vulnerable, you've got to say, Tom, it's a vulnerable English top order. And their middle order is only as good as the top order is, because you can't keep bailing them out of trouble. Their best batsman is Joe Cook. Alistair Cook needs to score runs, but you want to give some protection to Joe Root. You've got to give some protection to Joe Root, so you've got to get off to good starts. You don't want him coming in at 2 for 10 after 3 or 4 overs every test match, because England, ultimately, he can't keep trying to save them. So, and they put so much pressure on that middle order. We've seen Ben Stokes step up during the summer. He's not there. Johnny Bairstow, done a great job. But you need to protect, and Moen Ali. But they're great when you're 200 for 2, not 20 for 2. So a lot of pressure on the England top order. We know how good the Aussie seam bowling attack. We know how dangerous Mitchell Starc is, one of the best exponents, left-arm fast bowler. There's going to be a lot of pressure on that English top order. And, you know, psychologically and technique-wise, the Aussies are going to come really hard early in the series, and can't wait, personally. The Gabba?
Joe Root, England captain, probably the most feared man amongst Australians, that is, in that England batting lineup at the moment. Let's hear from Root. He's down in Australia. They're playing the warm-up.
Hopefully that'll happen in the next week or so. You know, leading into the 2 4-day games, it'd be nice to have that nailed down by then. And, yeah, we can go from there. With the senior guys around you, the experience that there is around the dressing room, and you know, the approach that all of the lads have. We help each other out all the time, and you know, they're very approachable and very good to work with for me as well. So I don't think it's too much of an issue in terms of you know, what else it can add to the squad. I think more than anything, it's making sure that the person that whoever is going to be vice captain is fully aware that if I'm injured or off the field, that they're going to be the one in charge.
This is The Grill. Get involved with the show. Text 4001 or message us for free on the Dubai Eye Messenger app.
This time last week, we're getting ready and excited about Anthony Joshua getting into a ring. Late replacement, Takam coming in to take up the fight with just 12 days' notice. A lot of people wrote him off, but I thought he held himself very well together. I think that the fight shouldn't have been stopped when it was in the 10th.
Yeah, I don't know. He was taking quite a beating there.
He was taking a beating, but he was still... He was still standing.
Still standing. We have to remember, Tom, a lot of people start to watch the growth of mixed martial arts, and they think the same thing happens in the boxing ring. The boxers are more protected by the referees. The referees have an obligation for these guys to really look at these guys. And we actually saw that with the Mayweather-McGregor fight this year. You saw McGregor after the fight. He acknowledged the loss, but he goes, man, I'm used to just getting the crap kicked out of me till I can't move anymore. And that's when I want the fight to stop. I don't want the fight to stop when I can still stand. And that's what you saw last week.
Right.
But it's a difference in the sports, and they do have an obligation. But with that said, he retained his belt, and he's still undefeated. He is, hands down, I think right now, the best heavyweight out there. But one man looking to challenge him is heavyweight world title Deontay Wilder, who will be in the ring tonight in New York going against one of his toughest opponents, Bermain Stiverine of Haiti. Now, this guy is the only guy that Wilder has faced in his entire career that Wilder has not knocked out. This one has went to the cards. And there is no love lost between the two of them. Deontay Wilder and Bermain Stiverine do not get along at all. They hate each other. Their press conference has just been phenomenal if you like seeing two guys jaw at one another. So Deontay Wilder is putting on a show leading up to the fight. He's the heavy favorite going into this fight, and he thinks he's going to be knocking him out.
Deontay, first, what's it feel like to hear those words said about you, heavyweight champ of the world?
It's amazing, you know, when you hear those words, or when I hear them, it reminds me of Ali all the time. That was my idol, you know what I mean? So it always makes me want to smile and always picture the belt in the air and my hands raised and stuff like that every time somebody mentioned it. So it makes me feel good.
You're 38-0, 37 knockouts, the one exception. Bermain Stiverine, January 2015. He's the man you're facing Saturday in the U.S. at Barclays Center in Brooklyn. Why was he able to survive to the cards?
You know, I broke my hand in the third round. You know, that was one of the reasons. But I kept throwing it. No one ever knew that I broke it. You know, if I would have showed him that I did that, he would have probably pressure a little bit more and stuff, and I had an injured eye coming in as well too, you know. But I don't make excuses. I just get the job done, and I do what I got to do. But the thing about it, people doubted me to that point. They said I couldn't take a punch. They said I couldn't go rounds, you know. And I wanted to prove those people wrong. So not knocking him out was a blessing in disguise for me.
Play analyst for us. What does Bermain Stiverine do well that a high level opponent like yourself, if he's not on his game, could cause maybe a little trouble?
Bermain, what he does well, he's a great counter. Well, I say he's a good counter puncher. You know, good counter puncher, got a okay movement. You know, and that's what I like about the guy. Other than that, you know, I can't wait to smash him.
This is your sixth heavyweight title defense. What's your prediction in detail about what happens Saturday night, Sunday morning in Central Africa, in Brooklyn?
Come Saturday night, it's going to be a massacre. It's going to be something that I started, and come Saturday, I'm going to finish. I didn't knock him out the first time. Like I said, it was good. But this time, I'm going to end him. End him for good. I told that Haitian I would put him on permanent vacation. I see that he's back on vacation, but this time I'm going to put him back in vacation for good this time.
Those are the thoughts of Deontay Wilder. That one's early hours of tomorrow.
Yeah, you got to get up real early for this one. Probably the undercard will get started around 7 a.m. local time. They'll be entering the ring around 8 or 9 o'clock.
I just asked the question off air, Ross. I'm going to ask it to you on air now. Wilder, he's got one belt. Joshua's got two belts in heavyweight. If they fight tomorrow, who are you backing to win?
Right now, I would back Anthony Joshua. Anthony Joshua has just proven himself more in the ring. I think than Wilder has. Although Wilder has put together a heck of a career, but he's mainly fought scrubs these past couple fights. So his competition hasn't been up to par. And one other person you have to just kind of throw in the conversation with this as well, because he is the WBO heavyweight champion, is your fellow Kiwi, Joseph Parker. He's also undefeated, 18-0. He still needs to get a lot more experience under his belt. But don't get it twisted. These guys will fight. I do believe Anthony Joshua and Dante Wilder. Dante Wilder is ready for Joshua right now. He needs to get through this fight, but I think that we'll be seeing this fight sometime next year. And Anthony Joshua will be the A side of that card.
Where?
I think that's going to be in Vegas. I mean, you just have to make all the money. That's where the big money is. That's where you get the pay-per-view. That's where you get the ticket. I don't think this one's going to be in Wembley. Even though he will be the hometown, he would be the hometown favorite if he had it in England. And he could certainly dictate this fight. If he wanted to have this fight on Mars, he could have this fight on Mars, because that is how good right now Anthony Joshua is. He is what we say in boxing, the A side of that fight. But I would love to see this fight. And you have to kind of feel for Dante Wilder a little bit, because he gets criticized for not taking the best opponents. He was supposed to be fighting tonight Lewis King Kong Ortiz, who failed his third drug test in the last 2 years. And it seems like in heavyweight boxing, drug testing is just keeping so many people out of the ring. They just can't stay clean. The last four of Wilder's opponents, two of them had to bow out because of drug testing issues. So you can only do so much in the boxing ring. If your opponent doesn't show up to fight, what can you do? We saw this in the mixed martial arts with UFC star John Bones Jones failing, it seems like, another drug test. And it just seems like too many of these guys are just harming themselves, harming their image, harming their brand by not getting in the ring, simply by not passing their drug test. But we'll see this tomorrow. Dante Wilder going against Beware. Berman Stivern, this will be a good fight. No love lost between the two of them. Dante Wilder has said if he does not knock him out, he will retire from the sport of boxing.
What was I watching last weekend, Christo? It was UFC. It was a title fight. I think they were down in Brazil last weekend. It was an extraordinary fight, though, because there was a young guy from California, American guy, who then got into the ring against a Brazilian lad. And then afterwards, he won. And then afterwards, I've never seen an acceptance speech quite like it. He literally called everybody in the arena a dog. And then started saying defamatory things about Brazil and Brazilians in general. Now, given the fact that he was fighting a Brazilian in Brazil, in the octagon down there, I've never seen a career reaction like it. There were bits and pieces being thrown at him afterwards. He had to be hustled out of the arena. Does this ring any bells?
Yeah, he's actually gotten in trouble from Colby
yes.
Covington.
Yes.
He's actually gotten in trouble from the UFC. The UFC, as you can tell from Mr. Conor McGregor, is very liberal with how they approach their press conferences. Anything involving a microphone, they basically allow them to say whatever they want. But they are even stepping in, and they are going to be suspending this guy or docking some pay, or he's going to face some type of punishment from his employer, because you certainly can't do this. But just let me, he's taking a play. All these guys now are taking the Conor McGregor approach. Yeah. You cannot be a top billing athlete right now in that sport if you can't talk, if you do not have some flair. The days of I'm switching sports again, but I go back to like a Sonny Liston, some guy who just doesn't talk at all and does all the talking with his box, with his hands. I think those days are done in mixed martial arts. Honestly, you really need to be a competitor in the ring, and you need to have some flair or pizzazz out the ring to get those big money fights, to do the Conor McGregor formula. When Conor McGregor was fighting Aldo and they went down to Brazil, he was saying some choice words to him in Portuguese, calling him some very, very funny things, but he could have easily gotten in trouble, and he also made fun of the audience as well, saying that he owns Sao Paulo. So, I mean, as he owns most cities he goes to. So, yes, we're just going to be seeing more and more of this as years to come in UFC.
Talking of UFC, that man, Conor McGregor, back in the news today. Why? Not because of his exploits in boxing rings or in the octagon, because his movie's just been released worldwide. It's called Notorious. He's been speaking that one up as well. I suppose another payday for the man, isn't it?
Who's playing Conor McGregor?
Guess.
Himself.
There we go. let's take a short break. More from us live from Barasti after this.
This is The Grill, bringing you the biggest sports stories right now on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Half-time in the Premier League. Mark Archer, latest scores, please.
Yeah, it just got underway in the second half of the early kickoff in the Premier League today. Stoke City 1, Leicester City 1. The first goal was Vicente Albora after 33 minutes. It was a left-footed half volley. It was a corner kick for Leicester City, not dealt with well by the Stoke defenders. A left-footed half volley by Albora, 10 yards out. The keeper could only get a hand to it. And Shaqiri for Stoke City after 39 minutes with the equaliser. So second half just underway. We're 1 minute into it. It's Stoke City 1, Leicester City 1.
Celtic lead. Scott Sinclair with the goal in the first half. Into the second half there, they're playing St Johnson up in Scotland. It's Celtic 1, St Johnson 0. So the Championship, early kickoff there. Bristol City, having a great season at the moment. They've retaken the lead. It's now 2-1 in their game against Cardiff. Adam Flint with the goal. Aidan Flint with the goal for Bristol City to extend their lead. Cardiff, their afternoon's just got a little bit worse because Omar Bogle, the scorer of their goal in the first half, has now been shown his second yellow card and been sent off. So Cardiff down to 10 men and they trail Bristol City by 2-1. Let's go to the cricket because we're underway over in India.
Yeah, second T20 international, the Indian team taking on the New Zealand Black Caps in Rajkot. I can tell you New Zealand captain Kane Williamson won the toss. The Black Caps are batting first. 1.3 overs gone of their 20. The Black Caps are 10 without loss. Gupta on 4. Munro on 5. New Zealand 10 without loss after 1.3 of their 20 overs.
Another goal down in Spain as well. Valencia making easy work of their opposition in the early kickoff in the Liga Leganés. Valencia now 3-0 to the good against Leganés. Latest goal has been converted from the penalty spot. Santi Mina with the goal for Valencia to add to those from Rodrigo and Perejo in the first half of the game. So it's Valencia 3, Leganés 0 in the early kickoff over in Spain. A couple of games to look forward to in Spain later on today. If La Liga is your thing, 7:15, Deportivo La Coruña taking on Atletico Madrid. And then later on this evening, 9:30, Alaves at home to Espanyol. And Barcelona in action at 12:45 tomorrow morning against Sevilla. Let's go to the world of rugby because Mark Archer is putting us in the picture. Have we got any kickoffs? Not as
yet. Yeah, early kickoff. No, we have an early kickoff in the top, the Pro 14. It's over in South Africa in Port Elizabeth. It's the Southern Kings taking on Ulster, and it's the home team have got off to a good start. 30 minutes gone in Port Elizabeth. It's the Southern Kings 22 versus Ulster 10. That's the first of four kickoffs today. Edinburgh at home to Ospreys. Cardiff Blues will take on Zabri, the Italian side, and Connacht play the South African team, the Cheetahs, in the late kickoff. Of course, all eyes in the rugby world turning to Twickenham at 7 p.m. UAE time, where the Barbars will take on the world champion New Zealand All Blacks.
Bundesliga kicks off within the next hour or so. Games kicking off at 6:30 local time here in the UAE. All games at 6:30 apart from Bayern Munich. They're on a little later on. 9:30 this evening, they take on Borussia Dortmund. Bologna are at home to Crotone and Genoa at home to Sampdoria. Those are the two games in Serie A. An early kickoff at 7 o'clock this evening in French Ligue 1, which will interest many. Paris Saint-Germain are in action in the early. They take on Angers. That one, as I said, kicking off at 7 o'clock. It'll be shown down here at Barasti on one of the variety of screens if you wish to watch that one. That one kicking off at 8 o'clock. Keep forgetting the times have changed a little over in Europe. So we'll keep an eye on those for you. Let's go now to stateside. We're going to turn our attention to all things American football.
That's right, Tom. It is week 9 in the NFL season, which means that the trade deadline has come and went. Some notable news, the Buffalo Bills have traded Marcell Dareus to Jacksonville Jaguars and his big contract. He's a big defensive tackle. Let's see if he can help clog up some of the holes for Jacksonville. Houston traded disgruntled left tackle Dwayne Brown, who sat out the first 7 weeks of the season, to Seattle in exchange for cornerback Jeremy Lane. Jeremy Lane showed up to Houston with a failed physical, so he got sent back to Seattle. So Seattle's going to send them some more picks. San Francisco traded cornerback Rashard Robinson to the New York Jets. That's not a real big move. The only British player in American football, Jay Ajayi, is moving to my state. He's moving to the Philadelphia Eagles. Jay Ajayi was traded from the Miami Dolphins to the Philadelphia Eagles. That is going to be a big two-headed attack with him and LeGarrette Blount running the football. So that will be a real, real good asset for them. They think his best days are behind him because he has some shoddy knees. So that's why he left South Beach. Big news, Kelvin Benjamin went to the Buffalo Bills in exchange for a third-round pick and a seventh-round pick in the 2018 draft. He can catch some big balls and stretch the field. He was expendable in Carolina because they had Devin Funches, who basically plays the same position as me. And then finally, Mark Archer.
I was just going to come to your question, not a trade question, but massive injury blow in the last 24, 48 hours, particularly for Houston Texans, who have been having a pretty good season, but their rookie quarterback, who's been blowing it wide open for them in the last month, Deshaun Watson, is out with an ACL.
ACL,
which is a massive blow to them, but he's been sensational. He's been the form quarterback in the last month in the NFL.
Phenomenal. Just phenomenal what he's been being able to do as a rookie. You have to feel for him going down with an ACL non-contact injury in practice. But it's next man up for Houston, so it'll be interesting to see if they can keep up that offensive production, because certainly something rare for them. Their offense has been amazing and their defense has stunk, but they don't have J.J. Watt on that defense, who they also lost to season-ending surgery. The biggest news, Mark Archer, to come out of trade deadline, though, you have to go up to New England, where Jimmy Garoppolo was traded from the New England Patriots to the San Francisco 49ers. The San Francisco 49ers, the Brian Hoyer experiment did not work out there, so they went out and they traded Jimmy Garoppolo. What does that mean? That means the New England Patriots, Robert Kraft, Bill Belichick are believing Tom Brady when he says he's going to be playing football till he's 45 years old, because they had the quarterback of the future sitting behind him. Jimmy Garoppolo was 2-0 in his two starts, and he's shown nothing but promise, and they traded him away. So they are going to ride the Tom Brady experiment into his mid-40s.
Big risk, though, isn't it, from the Patriots? Because you know Brady's getting on in his career, as great a career as he's had. You got to be starting to think, who is post-Brady? We know what happened, say, somewhere like Green Bay when they had Brett Favre. You know, at the end of his long career, they had Aaron Rodgers waiting for, what, two, three, almost four seasons before he came through and took over the reins and become an all-star player himself, a pro bowler. You just think that New England, after investing in Garoppolo as their backup, we just hang on to him. Why trade him? Because if they're an injury away to Brady from everything falling apart there as well.
Well, eventually you're going to have to figure out what to do, because his contract's going to come up. And what are you going to do? You're not going to franchise a second-string QB. You're not going to pay your second-string QB $18 million to sit behind Tom Brady. So basically what's going to happen is, I think Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft sat down with Tom Brady this past week and said, hey, listen, we're investing in you. Are you for sure you really want to play this sport till you're 45 years of age? And I think Tom Brady looked at him and he smiled with a grin and he said, yeah, let's go and do this trade-off, Jimmy G. We'll get a new young guy in the next draft coming up.
Can I ask a quick question about all things injury? Because I was reading with interest midweek. Is it Zach Miller who had the bad injury midweek? But it's interesting hearing about it, because it was a knee injury on the field, but they said that it was so serious they had to operate, pretty much emergency operation, to save his leg.
To save his leg. He ruptured an artery. If you actually look at a picture of the injury, it's one of the most gruesome injuries I've ever seen. It is absolutely horrible. So you have to feel for Zach Miller. But the doctors did do a good work, and they do say he's going to recover. But it was an absolutely horrific-looking injury for the tight end. And he's shown nothing but promise. So thoughts and prayers go out to Zach Miller. Elsewhere across the NFL, we are in Week 9, which means we have had our Thursday night game. The Thursday night game was played in New York. It was the New York Jets going against their upstate rival, the Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills were upset by the New York Jets. The New York Jets have just been upsetting teams all year long. This is a team who was predicted to win no games this year, and they sit at 4-5, and Matt Forte had himself a day, 14 carries, 77 yards, and two touchdowns. One man who is not too happy to be playing on Thursday nights is Buffalo Bills guard Richie Incognito.
You know, it's tough, man. These Thursday night games, they suck. They throw a wrench in our schedule. It's absolutely ridiculous that we have to do this. As physical as this game is, and as much work and preparation that goes into this to force us to play games on 4-day weeks, it's completely unfair. And and, you know, whatever, the league makes money off of it, and that's all they care about anyway. So we just keep trucking. I mean, we got a tough group of guys in this locker room, and back to the drawing board, back to Buffalo, and got the Saints.
The soft-spoken Richie Incognito there.
Moaning. Moaning because he has to play a game of football on a Thursday night.
Well, Mark Archer, as you know, this is probably the most violent game in the world, and you're coming off of a game where you just played on Sunday, and the NFL has been preaching player safety as of late. Is it the safest thing to do to make players play on 4 days rest in one of the most violent games in the world? The man might have a little bit of a point. But one man who's been defying the odds has been New York Jets coach Todd Bowles. He's got this team to 4-5 when no one said that they should be at where they're at right now.
It's big because we lost three, you know, 7 points, 5 points, 3 points. To come back on a Thursday on a short week before you get a weekend off is big. Division opponent, again, we were 3-5. We needed to get to 4-5. Hopefully we can get to 5-5 next week, but it was big. Well, for us inside the building, we think we should have more, but we didn't play well enough to close games out. We don't worry about the outside of the building.
Elsewhere across the league, the Tennessee Titans take on the Baltimore Ravens this weekend. That would be in Tennessee. The New Orleans Saints hope the Tampa Bay Buccaneers' Drew Brees has thrown for 11 touchdowns this year. The New York Giants will play host to the Los Angeles Rams. The LA Rams' Todd Gurley is having himself an MVP caliber season. He has 627 yards on the ground and 5 touchdowns. The Philadelphia Eagles and their new running back, Jay Ajayi from London, will host the Denver Broncos in Philadelphia. The Atlanta Falcons travel to Carolina Panthers to take on Cam Newton. Matt Ryan and Cam Newton restoring that rivalry right there. The Cincinnati Bungles will head to Jacksonville and take on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Andy Dalton hopes to keep throwing the ball well. Leonard Fournette has been playing absolutely lights out. The rookie's been running very well for the Jaguars. The Colts will head to the Houston Texans, when Texans will start their season without Deshaun Washington. The San Francisco 49ers will hope to get their first win of the season as they host the Arizona Cardinals, Carson Palmer and company. Will Jimmy Garoppolo get the start? I assume so. The Seattle Seahawks host the Washington Redskins. Russell Wilson has been playing lights out this year. He's already thrown over 2,000 yards. Seattle Seahawks should win this one at home. Can the Redskins pull the upset? The Kansas City Chiefs head to the Big D. They're going to go to Dallas. Alex Smith and company, Kareem Hunt and Travis Kelce will look to beat the Cowboys on their home field. And the Oakland Raiders get Marshawn Beast Mode Lynch back from suspension as they travel to South Beach to take on the worst offense in all of football, the Miami Dolphins. The Detroit Lions will head a little bit northwest and take on their biggest rival, the Green Bay Packers, at Lambeau Field. Matt Stafford going against Aaron Rodgers, 5:30 a.m. Tuesday morning local time. Tune in for that one.
Chat of the week. We can't have a little chat about all things NFL without mentioning a certain Colin Kaepernick, and there's chat that he might have a new team within the next few days, according to his agent.
Yeah, his agent has come out and said that the teams are talking to him. I'll believe it when I see it. Yeah. Well, I just think right now we've heard this for almost the better part of 2 years, so when he's in helmet and he's actually signed the papers, I'll believe it.
Do you think this is still a political... The owners don't want to take him on because of the baggage he's taken on, or is it because of his talent?
It's definitely not because of his talent. I mean, you look at the San Francisco 49ers were throwing Brian Hoyer out there. I mean, I would rather throw Tom out there on the field for 8 games.
Hey, there's
probably 10 teams right now that he could walk into their building right now and be the best player on the offensive side of the football. Look at the Cleveland Browns. I mean, this team has started more quarterbacks than, oh gosh, they've started more quarterbacks than some players have on teams. I mean, they've had 25, I think, quarterbacks since 1999 start at the position. You're telling me Colin Kaepernick couldn't make that room better, that quarterback room better? He could single-handedly win them some of these games. So we'll see what happens. I do not suspect Colin Kaepernick being on a team this year. I think he is almost blacklisted by the NFL owners. I think they kind of got together and they said they don't want this guy on the team. They don't want the media circus that will follow Colin Kaepernick wherever he goes.
One place he's not going to get a job anytime soon is Papa John's Pizza, though.
No,
because apparently they're one of NFL's main sponsors, obviously, as you guys well know.
They do not like the anthem.
But apparently they've seen a drop in pizza sales.
Right.
In recent times, and they blamed it on the protest.
They blame it on the protest. Their biggest spokesman, of course, is Peyton Manning, Papa John's. Peyton Manning has a huge stake in Papa John's. He actually owns the most amount of Papa John's as a private owner, so it'll be interesting to see what happens with that, because they are one of the big sponsors, and this is what the owners are scared about with this whole entire protesting during the national anthem. Is it really going to start to affect the sponsorship of the league and the viewing attendance of the league? And guess what? It actually has started to have a little bit of effect. You're seeing sponsors pull out, and you're seeing numbers go down. Last year was a bad year for the NFL. This year, the NFL numbers are still going down. The anthem is a big reason because of this.
Listen to a podcast midweek about Colin Kaepernick, about the character, about the protest, etc. And there was chat, and again, I just want to get your take, because you'll know better than anyone. There was chat that when Colin Kaepernick set out on this, whatever it is, crusade voyage, wanted to make a statement, he didn't want it to go public. He wanted it to be a very private affair. Is that something that's just been built up since this thing has gone ballistic? Is Colin Kaepernick one of those sort of characters that likes to court the media?
No, I don't think so. Here's something that's strange in this whole entire Colin Kaepernick saga or situation. We haven't even really heard from him this whole entire time. We don't know what's going on in Colin Kaepernick's head. All we know, he didn't like police brutality a couple years ago, and he decided to sit for the anthem because of that. And that's created a huge backspin, and we don't know if he still would sit for the anthem. We don't know if he would stand for the anthem. We don't know if his grievances are if he feels like the police community have fulfilled their obligation to the American people. We don't know what's inside this guy's head. And I will tell you, from any investigative journalist in the world, from Larry King to Bob Costas, they would love to sit down with this guy and get 30 minutes, get 60 minutes on some primetime television. It would be big, big news, because this guy's somewhat of an enigma. He started this whole entire movement, but now he started a movement, but he's not the voice of the movement anymore. It's other people carrying his voice for him. So I really would be interested to see what his take on the whole entire situation is right now.
We have the third goal in the early English Premier League kickoff today. Riyad Mahrez has shown some individual brilliance down the right-hand flank. He's beaten his defender, he's cut inside, and then he's coolly slotted the ball in the corner on the counter-attack. That makes the score Leicester City 2, Stoke City 1, 60 minutes gone in the early Premier League kickoff this afternoon.
Let's take a short break. When we come back, we will be around the grounds, put you in the picture of all the live sport. Plus, in the third hour, the top of the third hour, we will have build-up to Newcastle against Bournemouth. We'll be touching base with Alex Crook, who is going to be a matchday commentator, courtesy of our friends at TalkSport. We'll be touching base with him in just a little while.
This is The Grill. Get involved with the show. Text 4001 or message us for free on the Dubai Eye Messenger app.
Unbelievable goal!
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, where the game is always on.
Welcome back to The Grill. We're broadcasting live from Barasti. New hours this week to take into account the late start in the Premier League over in the United Kingdom after the clocks have changed. 4 till 7, which means we get to see Barasti in a whole new light, quite literally, up here from our broadcast position. We're up on the rooftop garden, which is the top deck down here at Barasti, and there is not a better view in this place, because it's been a significant weekend for Barasti. Yesterday they opened their new pool. We haven't tried that one out yet.
No, but Ross will be sampling it, I'm sure, very soon, who was down here last night, and 17,000 people came down to Barasti yesterday, which was apparently a...
For Ross.
The Duke. Duke Damon.
That's amazing crowd. So congratulations to everyone at Barasti. 17,000 people. We know it's been, what, 20 years now? Barasti's been open? I think they had bicentenary or whatever that is. 20-year anniversary recently, but 17,000 people yesterday came down to Barasti. Big concert on the beach. The new pool is open. Ross will be down there in his speedos regularly, I'm sure.
Now, you mentioned the new pool here, and we're here every Saturday, but one of the great things about this place in my 4 years being here, it always evolves and changes. They have like a new food cutlery station on the beach. Yeah. You mentioned the new pool. They have new service areas for getting adult beverages downstairs. Everything here, just they always are evolving. That's why I like keep coming back here.
There's even a new little drink service place in the middle of the sea, isn't there?
That is part of the Corona Sunset Festival. So if you purchase some of that Corona, you can actually get out to the sea and get yourself on that little sea island bed. And they're going to be keeping that out for the remainder of the season.
Very cool. Listen, it's a beautiful temperature as well. Sun's just going down. Lovely sunset in the distance. And all set fair for what promises to be a cracking evening of sport. Looking for somewhere to watch your sport? Yeah, we're talking about the music. We're talking about the feud. We're talking about all the offerings. But sport on the big screen and on all the other screens down here at Brasti. Not just on Saturday, throughout the entire week. So make a beeline down here and be part of it. Cricket will be showing somewhere downstairs. And let's get the latest from that. India taking on New Zealand.
Yeah, it's the second T20 international in Rajkot. India won the first match by 53 runs. Kane Williamson, the New Zealand captain, won the toss. He's elected to bat first in the second T20 international. And New Zealand have made a pretty bright start. 6.3 overs gone. They are 50 without loss. Martin Gupta, well, he's off to a flyer. He's 31 not out off only 28 deliveries. 3 fours and 2 sixes for the right-hander from Auckland. Colin Munro is 16 not out. So New Zealand 50 without loss after 6.3 of their 20 overs, trying to level the series against India.
England have earned their first win of the 2017 Rugby League World Cup, taking place down in Australia and New Zealand. They run in 5 tries against a spirited Lebanon side. Now, this took me by surprise when I saw the teams lining up last weekend for the first games. I didn't realise that Lebanon had a rugby league team. I didn't realise there was such a big Lebanese community down in southern Australia and Western Australia, down in and around the suburbs of Sydney, and that's where they're getting some of the big names from.
Yeah, they massive Lebanese expat community in the western suburbs of Sydney in the Bankstown area, and a lot of them have gone through and played for the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs, where I think all but one player, there's one Lebanese-based player in their rugby league international team. But the rest of them are spread throughout the world, particularly out of the Lebanese community in Sydney, where it's a very popular game for them. But a lot of them coming from the western suburbs there, and they form that Lebanese international rugby league side, Tom.
Let's just give you those the figures from today. New Zealand pumped Scotland 74 points to 6. Samoa against Tonga was a real battle royal. 18-32, it finished in to the advantage of Tonga on that occasion, so they've got bragging rights down in the islands. England beating Lebanon by 29 points to 10. Tomorrow sees Italy taking on the USA again. Didn't realise that rugby league had a presence in the United States.
Well, 362 million people, you can throw a couple guys on a team and throw them out there, right, Tim?
They took a bit of a pumping last weekend, but it's all experience, isn't it?
I'm telling you, within the next 10 years, mark it down right now. What's today's date? November 4th, 2017. November 4th, 2027. All right, America will be competitive when it comes to world rugby. I'm not going to go on rugby league here. I'm going to go with union. It'll be competitive.
Papua New Guinea take on Ireland tomorrow. Fiji against Wales as well. So that's the Rugby League World Cup ongoing. Some great games to look forward to over the next couple of weeks. Australia thrashed France yesterday evening for their second win in this tournament. But no, I've enjoyed it so far. Watched any of it or not really?
No, I'm going to tune in about semi-final stage when I think New Zealand, England, Australia and another team will be going head-to-head, Tom.
We will keep an eye on that. We'll take a short break when we come back, building up to our 7 o'clock kickoff in the Premier League. We've got Newcastle against Bournemouth for you. It's going to be commentated by Alex Crook, who we'll be talking to after this.
Oh, it's a fabulous goal!
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, with more sport, the latest headlines and top debate on Dubai Eye 103.8.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcast at DubaiEye1038.com.